Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into USWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leivon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of at-market involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of Leivon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our Human Resource Office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. The number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, Leivon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/RGRU. That's www.myspace.com/RGRU. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us be the church. For I'd rather be the church all the way than to not be it at all. Good evening. This is Leivon Breland, founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and host of USWAT Radio, believing that you will have a great day as I've had. I'm a little winded because I done ran up a bunch of steps and been traveling. I had a wonderful day today in the Word of God. I was able to minister a couple of times today and then got together with a little small cell group and made my way back to now the studio. And so I'm delighted to be with you tonight, to be able to share the word of God with you tonight. And I do have a few things I want to talk about. So you can get your Bibles out, if you will. And we're going to talk tonight about something I think I'm going to spend a few weeks on. And I kind of shy off of this type of teaching, but I think it's important that we discuss it tonight. And like I said, in the coming weeks, I'm going to kind of deal with it. And the goals of these messages, recently, we're in the process, if you do not know, if you're listening by internet for some reason and you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always dial 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. And we will be able to, you will be able to listen by phone. I encourage everybody to listen by phone. It's a new method that we can produce the gospel and mass media. We can hit waves, and I encourage everyone to get involved into this great, great ministry, especially those who are called to the ministry and believe that God has given them a call. Next year, matter of fact, starting in December, we're going to be sending out e-blasters and literally attempt to double our listening audience in the next 4 months, because we have different material and we prepped and we prepared ourselves a lot differently to minister to you. And I believe the level of excellence in which the Lord wants to minister to you. And we have some material that we just know is good material to get out. So, so I think that's important for you to know. And I think it's going to be such a blessing for the things in the future. I am delighted. I wish I had the time to tell you all of the things that the Lord has been doing in our time of really preparation and revamping some priorities in the ministry, ensuring that the vision of the ministry is carried out fully. We have really gone forth and produced some great, great material that I believe is going to really help the body of Christ at large. Well, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to be reading out the English Standard Translation. You know, in December, we're going to graduate, and all of next year, we're going to be using, for the USWAT radio program, just to let you know, we will let you know in another format, the Amplified Translation. And so in the future, you'll have a whole handout. Each lesson, you'll have a handout where you'll be able to go ahead and get the scriptures marked down, so when we're going through the text, you already have it. And we're going to be going through an in-depth study of God's Word every Tuesday and Thursday night. It's going to be an awesome, 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 awesome opportunity for you to indulge in the Word of God. However, tonight I'm going to be using the English Standard Translation. And as you know, I don't like the NIV version, nor do I like the Message Translation. That's just me personally. However, I have been reading some of the commentaries. Those are more so commentaries. I don't believe they give an accurate depiction of the connotation that I feel the scriptures are articulated in the King James Amplified New American Standard. I do love Young's Literal Translation, and I like the New Life Translation, you know, various ones, and I'll have a list of them as we go on throughout the courses. But next year, and particularly when we're going into specific training in the Word of God and developing more of an apologetic approach to God's Word, you're going to hear me use the Amplified Translation. But tonight, I'm going to be using the English Standard Translation. And I want to read a verse out of Ephesians before we pray. And I guess we can start at verse 22. It says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with everyone in need. in need. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as a good for building up, as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom ye are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God has forgiven you. And then go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And let's look at verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine wherein there is a debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Go with me to let's go to let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. I'm just reading you some passages to kind of provoke you and prepare you for some of the things that I'm going to be studying tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. And then let's look at verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Let's go on to 13. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby have some entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are in prison as if you were in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in a body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money and content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Pray that you are kind of developing the thread as we go through this particular chapter. And let's look at, start at verse 19. Actually, let's start at verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he has brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of a man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. but be ye doers of the words and not just hearers, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently into the at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forget what he was like. But one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doings. If anyone thinks he is to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Go with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Just sharing with you tonight, because we're building up a dialogue that I believe is so necessary for the body of Christ today. I do believe that no matter how engulfed we are in the affairs of life, that we have to constantly renew our minds with the relevance and the repetition of God's word in order to develop a true realm of revelation. So it's important that we feed on scriptures and hear it as a sort of a collective narrative, just pinpointing, not pinpointing texts to bring out a particular point, but pinpointing emphasis to kind of build a case for our dialogue. Because when I minister, I want to minister out of the overflow of the revelation versus just taking you to chapters and verses and just, you know, poking at thoughts. I want to give you kind of a collective journey to where I'm going. So I'm taking you through the scriptures, just turning to a few passages until we develop a overflow, and a force of compassion comes out based on the flow that we're reading. But if you listen so far, they all have a lateral thread work going on in an interwoven fabric of revelation that's going to come out of this teaching. Romans chapter 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which is from God, and those who exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whosoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Amen. Now, go with me to Psalms 51. We're talking about the authority of God, the authority of God, and how God transmits his authority to his children. Psalms chapter 51. Let's look at verse 7, and we'll read to about. They'll just read on. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me, O God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your willing spirit. Then I will teach your Teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you will not delight in sacrifices, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasures. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. And let's look at another passage in Psalms, a key passage in Psalms. And then we'll go to John 14. But let's go to Psalms 91. Let's look at He who dwells, verse 1, in the shelter of the Most High, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, the Lord, my God, or my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings will you find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your one side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver them and I will protect him, because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Then go with me to the words of our Lord in John, the 14th chapter. Amen. I'm delighted at his word. And we're going to put this together. We're going to put this together. I'm just laying the groundwork. I know I'm going a little different from my style, but I believe you're going to get this in one second. Because we've gone through multiple passages to kind of highlight a theme. John 14, let's look at the words of Jesus. Let's go all the way down to 30 and we'll start at 25. These things that I've spoken to you while I am still with you, by the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it what's to take place, so that when this does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. And amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the scriptures that we have reviewed tonight. I do believe that as a result of your word proclaimed, lives will never be the same. Tonight I ask for a special articulation of speech and deliberation of thought, continuity of subjectivity and organization of my delivery tonight. I depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to speak to the Spirit, to the church as you would have them by directives of the Spirit. I agree with the Holy Spirit that things will be done in a manner which would only yield excellency to your name, the name that's above every name. And I yield to that name, the name Lord Jesus, as a ransom for all, to apply it to the authority of your word tonight. Let us, as we discuss on the authority delegated from you to us tonight, mature the leaders of your church, world without end, because of your word, in Jesus' name. God's authority should be our passion. It should be what motivates each and every believer and those who dare to assemble themselves as officiators of his remnant in the earth realm today. Authority must be grasped in the minds of leaders. First, we must perceive it by written observation of God's word. And then from that observation, we must go into consecration and develop true consideration. And after that consideration, then there will be a manifestation of integrity that will afford us the wisdom needed to establish application of authority. But a lot of us have not allowed that observation to move to consecration and from consecration to develop a consideration that gives you the wisdom that allots true application. And when those steps have not occurred, then it results in novice development, novice leadership. And you have people who are hungry and zealous for influence versus true authority. True authority derives from the source who delegates it. And the only one that can delegate true authority is God the Father. Romans 13 reminded us that it is God who has instituted or devised or developed the institution of authority. And true authority from God will never be actualized and vivid in a society until there is a proper respect toward the institutions by which God has designed for the society to function under. And so authority then provokes us to re-examine the very fabrics of our existence. And in the book of Ephesus, it lets us understand when he was talking to the Ephesus church, as we read in Ephesians, you can go back there for a second. In the fourth chapter, we begin to dialogue on putting away falsehood and allowing the work that he has done at the original. See, when we come into the dialogue about authority, we really should focus on not the reactions to authority being in place, but rather isolating the fabric of what constructs true authority. True authority is first set in motion for people to develop the character of Christ. Authority must be perceived. And the true perception comes through the illumination of the scriptures being open in our understanding and our willingness to reside and to exemplify true character. Not character for the sake of just relegating somebody else's affairs, but relegating the very intent of God in our mortal bodies so that we can present ourselves without falsehood, allowing that love which he shared through his son, manifested through his son, his work at Calvary, wrought in redemption to mankind, to give us an avenue to exist in his same nature, to allow that same mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, taking on forms of servitude in order to exemplify the institutions which God has established. God is concerned about his people identifying with him so that way they can exist in a life that creates realities that are conducive for a God consciousness, for righteousness, for the love of God to be shed abroad in our hearts through the revelation of the Lord Jesus, which all of us should come into some sort of agreement. And we have not gotten there because we have allowed falsehoods to arise in our characters, and we have allowed the sinful nature to subjugate us to authorities that are not under influences. And we've reduced true authority to popularity and influence. So the resolve is derived in the 24th through the 28th verse of Ephesians 4. From there, we looked at Hebrews, and we, in our deliberation, understood that God has a motive for instituting true authority. True authority derives from God's willingness to express his love to a people that have been predestinated to reign in a realm of righteousness. And in Hebrews 12, it lets us know that we have, therefore, let us be grateful in receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us offer to God what acceptable sacrifices. True authority identifies what is acceptable unto God. That's what exudes the true power. This is acceptable before God. And when you're authorized in authority, you're authorized by God because you represent the institutions that he sanctions. You become unwavering. That's that power that everyone seeks to attain. But you will never attain that if you don't find what is acceptable to God. It also points to the necessity of our faith being in place through grace, for through grace we are saved by faith. By grace are we saved through faith, because it's what? It's a gift of God. It brings us back to the authority of God, the source of our attaining authority. Are you going with me? The authority, then, has to be understood. Of course, you know, Romans 13 lets us understand that the authorities that are in place, whether we concur or not, are derived from one source. That's God. God, one source. authorities don't have many different modus operandi that establishes itself through influence. Influences have many different channels from which it derives its power. But authority has one source, and that's God. A lot of times we think because they're influential people, they possess the authority. That's the greatest delusion of influence. It is assumed authority, and assumptions always lead to theological discourses. God wants us to re-examine why we truly have the authority that we have. Perhaps you are ministering to a congregation that you have no authority over. You can't get things to go your way because you're not the one that God has designed for that particular congregation to exist in. You have to have the integrity of God enough and the character of God enough to revisit the claims of authority and develop a true sense of humility that puts away all falsehoods, all forms of things that places you in position because you think you deserve it. That is falsehood, fleshly. You've given place to the devil to allow you to exist based on pride instead of true authority. Are you doing this because God has given you privilege and power to perform? That's how you know whether or not you're an authority based on God's eyes. Do you have that power? Not power that has been given to you by influence, but power that has been allotted by God, and therefore that if they come against you, they're coming against God's plan. And most people don't have that confidence because they're not willing to put away that falsehood. But the Lord lets us know in Hebrews that we should be grateful for receiving this type of kingdom, God's way of doing things, God's dominion that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God what is acceptable, worship with reverence and awe. For God is a consuming what? Fire. He's full of judgment. He understands the true authenticity of authority, and you cannot negate his system and try to exist on his behalf. You will die in pride. But you will live in selflessness when you are submitted unto God. And it starts off with a willingness to obey. God and his authority are inseparable. It's impossible to understand kingdom principles without with a democratic mindset. Those who exist in the greatest form of faith exemplify that superior obedience. When you attempt to exist in authority, and you try to resist the ones whom God has given authority, you are actually working against God. A level of humility will reveal to you the importance of complying to letting God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sin must be eradicated. Sin is lawlessness, life without laws, meaning that there's a condition of being without laws, not submitting unto God's authority. And many excuses are revealed and become easy to emulate when we have the intent to disobey God, period. I am a little sickened by people who portray the figure of, quote-unquote, their authority when they don't have the intent to simply obey God. Because true authorities will rely on the superiority of sovereignty. They will always resolve that at the end of the day, God is in control. Sin nullifies God's authority and God's authority, his will, and his word. And the root cause of that is lawlessness and is the deception. And it's a deception issue that is rampant in the last days. And, of course, you know the scripture in James chapter 1. It tells you to be doers of the word, not deceiving yourselves. because a lot of times people distort their lifestyle of faith. You know, we were in James coming up with confessions to try to condition themselves into authority that they don't possess. Hope deferred, the scripture says, make the heart sick. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life, but it's not only eternal life and peace. That's why you can't exist in true authority without the basic fundamentals of just obeying God and resolving that His will be done. The love of God and our compliance to obey God and His truth is key to preventing false forms of authority. Of course, we have to understand that God directs authority, but He also delegates authority. And that should be reflected in our societies, our families, and in our church. You have to let people know that authority is not to run people around, but is to reflect the character of God in society, in their families, and in their church. And the more and more we understand this, the more we're prepared and apt to convey the intentions of God so that the will of God can be manifested and vivid in a society that is prone on doing wickedness. We could stand and be a righteous branch, the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. So we have to resolve into Romans chapter 8. After visiting Romans 13. And destroy the sinful nature and abolish sin and live after the law of the Spirit of life of Christ Jesus, who has allotted freedom from the law of sin and death. And understand that partial obedience is no obedience. Thus, the source of rebellion, that partial obedience, will produce all types of spiritual wickedness in high places. But we ought to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bring it back down to true compliance to God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven, so we can readily obey. We went to Psalms chapter 51. Psalms chapter 51 lets us understand that we need to be determined before we communicate about teaching people the law. We need to make sure that our heart is conditioned for righteousness' sake. Create in me, O God, a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Your presence is the source of my authority. Hide not thy spirit from me. A repentance is necessary to reveal one's authentic authority derived from God. A broken and a contrite spirit is of great reward to the Lord. Not just a prevailing, exuding a power through personalities, but true states of repentance that provokes the compassion of God in us to reveal His nature, so that when sinners look on us, they will return from they will avoid their iniquities, and transgressors will straighten up and resolve to the paths of righteousness. Oh, and when the church arises to that point, we will be like the scripture we concluded on, Psalms 91. We conclude on John 14, but Psalms 91, the Lord is my shepherd. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my God, in whom I will trust. Why? Because I've resolved to be under complete compliance with His will being done. God's authority. Hallelujah. Jesus was so concerned about doing what His Father said do, that when He gave instructions in 14 of John, He let us know that God would not leave us comfortless, that He would send us His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, His essence, His authority, His will, manifested, portrayed spiritually so we can connect and be a part of Him, one with Him. He let us understand that when Jesus said, I'm transitioning to be one with my Father, I will not leave you comfortless. This same Spirit that unites me to do my will with the Father is going to be embedded in you so that when you and I can be one, even as they are one. In 17:17, He prays for them. But in 14, He lets us know that this Comforter has come. And just as I am obedient to God to only do what He has instructed me to do, He will instruct you to do likewise. And He will come not in His own authority, but He will come in the authority of my name, the name that was given to me that was above every name, as a result of me being obedient even to death on the cross. This I'm telling you before it even happens so that you can believe and know that I'm going to bring this to pass. Jesus lets us understand that when we resolve to obey, we will exemplify the authority of God and we will exist as selfless people who are willing and fit for the Master's use so that the kingdom of God can be graced with humanity and humanity can experience the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. True authority. God is requiring us to go deeper. Deeper in His word, deeper in His insights. To know and master the story. Not of religiosity. James reminded us in chapter 1, verses 22 through 28. It lets us understand that if a man's religion does not take care of the needs that are prevalent in humanity, acts of selflessness, his religion is void. It's void, it's nullified, it's in vain. Pure and undefiled religion operates in selflessness and demonstrates the acts of faith through the character of God, true authority. That's the challenge for us today. I read you several scriptures and I took you through a bunny trail methodology. Let you know you don't have to always preach in systematic format to come to a revelatory point of conviction. But the Word teaches us that if we stay focused on Him, stay consistent in doing His work, He will enable us to truly be people of character who are not just religiously putting on hype and assuming roles that we're not qualified for, but we have come to a point of true humility, selflessness, to yield to the Spirit every time so that our lives can truly be meaningful and impact precious people, because people are God's precious treasure. His treasure is His people. Let us not disguise our wickedness in forms of authority. We're told to shun from the very love of money, from wickedness and forms of wickedness, and to come back unto that singularity of accomplishing God's will. Simply obeying God starts the process and activates true authority. Don't forget that when you're going about performing whatever you perceive as works of ministry. Stay focused on accomplishing God's will. Went a little longer than I planned to go. But I think it's so essential that we begin to revisit such claims in the Bible. Illustrations allotted through Scripture are not placed there for us to have a religious appreciation, but the Scriptures were written for our learning that we might grow thereby. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. You cannot ever leave a place of hunger in it, because all those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. That's why you're not filled, and you're a minister, and you're preaching out of emptiness instead of brokenness, and there is a difference. You're only broken because you're full of the love of God and compassion that can strengthen and even break every fleshly mold and makes you fit for the master's use, pliable for God to mold you and make you into his figure of authority, not your own figure of authority. You're just exuding pride. It's not true authority. You need to develop the character of God. Oh, would the church arise and allow the authority of God to be emulated in the lives of people who are sold out for him, not for the sake of acquiring goods and material needs, but those who are truly determined to exemplify the same selflessness as Christ performed on Calvary, spiritually. An offering and sacrifice you want me, not necessary. The fruit of your lips, the heart state, is what God needs. This is LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns and the host of USWAT Radio. I believe that you will have a prosperous week, and whatever you set your hands to do, you will do. Because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. I believe that the word of God did not fall on deaf ear, but it accomplished that what it purposed to accomplish. And it's been an honor sharing with you God's word. Continue joining me on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 p.m., and we're going to go deeper in God's word. I am delighted to be with you. Good night, and God bless.